Psalm chapter number 5, as you turn there in God's Word, the Psalms, I love to preach the Psalms, and Pastor Sexton, when we were in college, he said to the preacher boys, he said, if you don't know what to preach, preach the Psalms. And I started Romans, another sermon in Romans 3, and I just didn't feel like that was the Lord's will, and here we are, Psalm 5, and I'm excited about preaching this Psalm to you. And I think it's very important. I notice as I study the Psalms, I study the life of David, the man after God's own heart, a man that kills a giant in the name of Jehovah God, a man who is ordained of God to be the king of the nation of God's people, Israel, a man who is just awesome in so many ways, used of God so many ways. He often and consistently refreshes his resolve to serve God. He renews his commitment to the Lord. He reestablishes the fact that he can trust in the Lord. He gives himself not only resolve, like an empty resolve. Ever met somebody that had empty resolve? They determined to do something, but you knew in their heart there's no way they could ever do it. But he refreshes his resolve and gives reason that he can trust God and reason why he should trust God. We come to this passage of Scripture, and there's no doubt at this moment in David's life, he's dealing with the enemy, and the enemy's real. There's no doubt that he's dealing with the pressures around him to put his confidence in maybe a foreign ally as a king, or maybe a pagan's armor, or maybe he's being pushed in some way to put his trust in something other than Jehovah God. He's been being coerced in his spirit to turn a little bit to the world and away from God. And he makes his resolve in this psalm. And there's a phrase in this passage of Scripture. He says, I will look up. I will look up. And his resolve is just that, to look up, to keep his eyes fixed on God, put his trust in the Lord. And we'll look together, Psalm chapter number 5. You'll read it as I read to follow along with me as I read it to you. Psalm chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Verse 9, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions. For they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. We come to this passage of Scripture. There's a place I want to emphasize. The Bible says in verse number 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Today's nice message is titled that, I will look up. I'm going to look to the Lord. And there's an emphasis here on this resolve. He's determined to resolve. This is a psalm of resolve. Pay attention to the I wills. He says in verse number 2, that he will pray. He will pray. In verse number 3, he says, he will direct his prayer. In verse number 3 again, he says, he will look up. Verse number 7, he says, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercies. and in thy fear will I worship. I will worship toward thy temple. Here's some things. I'm going to do this. I will look up. I will look up. I will look to the Lord. And then he doesn't just say, I'm going to do this because I'm going to do this. He says, I'm going to put my trust in the Lord because of a number of things. In verse number 4, he says, you see the word for. And it really ties the first three verses. And he says, the reason I'm going to look up is because, is for this purpose. In verse number 9, we see this again. He gives his reasoning. For there is no faithfulness in their mouths. He says, I'm going to look up, I'm going to trust God because there's a good reason for it. Finally, in verses number 11 and 12, he says, I'm going to rejoice, I'm going to have joy because. In verse number 12, he says, for, I'll be joyful, for, because. So when I look at this and I pay attention to the I wills, his resolve is not just a resolve out of the clear blue sky. His resolve is with reason. And when we see our reasoning, and we see David's reasoning for trusting the Lord, we understand some things about God. And I just wonder if in your heart tonight, once again, you need to resolve, I will look up. I will look up. I don't know about you, but even as the pastor of a great church and preacher for 20 years, I am tempted on a regular basis to put my confidence in things that are contrary to God and His Word. I mean, you don't have to look far at the news. You don't have to look far at the schools. You don't have to look far at modern education to see that there is a war being waged between gospel, Bible truth and what is common practice in this world. And I'll just tell you, there are moments in all of our lives where we are tempted to maybe heed to the notions that the world has to offer and leave God's Word and God Himself behind. Whether we like to admit it or not, it happens. And David in this moment in his life, and as he does over and over again in the Psalms, he is resolving in his heart to trust in the Lord. He says, I know that there's temptations to believe things that are contrary to God's Word. I know that there are temptations to hear and listen to the reasoning of the humanistic mindset and the pagan mindset and the worldly mindset. He says, I just want you to know once again, as he's had time in a quiet place to sit and listen and fellowship with God, he resolves his heart once again that he will look up. He's going to keep looking to God. He's going to keep trusting in the Lord. Tonight's message, I will look up. Number one, I will look up for a king. I will look up for a king. You know, none of us can do this life all by ourselves. Isn't that true? None of us can do this life all by ourselves. All of us are dependent in some way or another. We're dependent on leaders, right? We're dependent on structure and government. We have dependencies on lots of things. And sometimes we set our affection on things that are less than the highest because Jesus Christ must be our King. And David says, I will look up. I'm going to look up for a king. If I'm going to let somebody rule in my life, if I'm going to put my dependence on somebody or something, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to trust in God. You know, sometimes you need things and you have to petition. Maybe you have to petition somebody at the bank. Maybe you have to petition somebody at the town hall. Sometimes you have to petition somebody at the courthouse because you need something from a structure. I'll just have you know some of those things are fine and good, but our ultimate seeking for help and aid and direction and peace and our ruler and a leader in our lives should be the Lord Almighty. He says, I'm going to look up for a king. I'm going to put my confidence in King Jesus. Look here what the Bible says in verse number 1. He says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. His prayers, he wants God to hear his words. He wants God to consider his meditation. Verse number 2, hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, For unto thee will I pray. He says, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray to God. And I'm going to call God Jehovah my King and my Lord. Unto thee will I pray. I'm praying to God. I'm trusting in the Lord. You can trust in a political party if you'd like to, but they'll fail you. You can trust in a political office, but it'll fail you. You can trust in a nation, but it'll fail you. But God won't. You see, if we make the anchor of our soul none other than God Almighty, then we can rest and anchor ourselves on something that is sound and sure and solid and real. I'm a flag-waving, red-blooded American. I love our nation. I love it. Thank God for it. But I'll have you know something. God existed long before 1776 ever happened. Long before. And so David is saying, I may be the king of Israel, but God was present and God was more important than the throne that he sat on or the family that he led. And he said, I'll just trust in the Lord. He says, I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry to God. If I'm going to meditate, I'm going to meditate in God's name. If I'm going to cry, declare somebody king of my life, it'll be none other than the Lord God, Jehovah. Verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the mornings. Can you? I just love this. He's writing this. He's talking to the Lord. He says, God, I want you to know something. You'll hear my voice in the morning. When I start my day and I need help and direction, strength, I'm going straight to you, Lord. You'll hear my voice in the morning. You can hear. You can count on it. You're going to hear from me. I think that's wonderful. God's people should start their day calling on their King. Hey, how about this? Shouldn't it be our life's ambition to be about our King's business? If we are truly servants of the Most High God, don't you think it's important that God hears our voice first thing in the morning? I like how Samuel said it. Here am I, Lord. Speak, for your servant heareth. May God help us have that spirit. He said, He's my King. He says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. I'm going to direct my prayer to you, Lord. I'm going to petition you. I need you. I'm going to look up for a king. I'm going to look up for a king. And then he says, here's why. He says, I'm going to trust in God, Jehovah, to be my king. He says, because this is how God is. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. You know what's sad to me to think? There's a lot of folks in this world who put their trust in men and women and societies and groups of people who are just full of wickedness. If you're going to trust in somebody that's righteous. He says, thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness. Neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing, lying. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. He says, I'll just tell you why I'm putting my trust in God. I'm putting my trust in God because He's righteous. I'm putting my trust in God because He's righteous. I can trust Him. I don't know about you, but I like to do business with folks that I know I can trust. I think everybody's that way. I mean, I want the accountant to be somebody that I trust. I want the banker to be somebody that I can trust. I want the doctor or the lawyer to be somebody that I have some confidence in. And yes, it's possible to have confidence in a lawyer, isn't it? I want the folks I do business with to be folks I can trust. You know what's sad? There's a lot of folks who put a lot of confidence in this old world. Put a lot of confidence in folks making decisions. And they leave God out. Folks who are wicked and rotten. But I want you to know something. You can trust God. And David says, I'm going to make Him my king. I'm going to look up for a king, a Lord, somebody to depend on. Because He's going to do things right. He's going to do things right. I want you to know something. God has never cheated. He's never lied. He's never stolen. He's never deceived. He's always been faithful. And David said, you know what? I'm going to look to heaven. I'm going to look to God for the king of my life because He's righteous. He's righteous. Look up for a king. Look up for a king. What are you depending on? Look up for a king. Number two, he said, number one, I'm going to look up for a king. Number two, I'm going to look up for a leader. I love this next passage of Scripture. Next section of this chapter of the Bible says, as for me, here he keeps resolving, as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. And in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. He says, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be worshiping God. He's going to be the king of my life. And here's my prayer. Verse number 8. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. Lead me, O Lord. He says, I'm going to look up for a leader. I'm going to look up for a leader. Are you considering God as you live your life? Are you looking for God's will in your life? Are you leaning on God for His plan? I like David's reasoning here. This is King David. This is David that slew Goliath. This is David, the man after God's own heart. He says, I'm calling on you, Lord. He says, lead me, O Lord. That should be our prayer often. Lead me, O Lord. How many of you have moments in life where you don't know what to do? Here's your prayer. Lead me, O Lord. Lead me, O Lord. You know what we're tempted to do? Instead of looking up for leadership, we're tempted to look around for leadership. Instead of looking to God for leadership, we're tempted to poll the audience. And I'll just tell you, there may be some merit in polling the audience on occasion, but you make certain that your leadership primarily comes from the Lord. He leads His people. He's faithful. And this is what David said. He said, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. He says, I'm going to trust you to lead me because of what I said earlier, because you're righteous. You're going to do things right. He says, I need God's leadership because God is righteous. Then he says, I need God's leadership because of mine enemies. He says, I need God's leadership because of mine enemies. He says, there's folks in my cabinet. There's folks in my office who are not righteous, who would like to hurt me. You can think about that for a moment. His own son, Absalom, rebelled against him and ran him off the throne. He says, I need the Lord's leadership because of mine enemies. He didn't know who they were. He says, I need the Lord's leadership because of mine enemies. He says this, lead me, O Lord. He says, make thy way straight before my face. What's he say? I will look up for a leader. I will look up for a leader. He says, I'm going to look up for a leader, and here's the reason why I'm looking up for a leader. Now, there's lots of folks who are willing to lead you. There's a lot of folks who are willing to lead you astray. Have you ever met somebody that was willing to lead you astray? Sometimes it's on a car lot. Unfortunately, sometimes it's from a pulpit. It's sad. There's lots of folks willing to lead you astray. Work their angle on you. Here's something that'll never happen with the Lord. He says, I'm going to look up for a leader because I found out something about them. People around him. For there's no faithfulness, verse number 9. There's no faithfulness in their mouth. Oh, I'm so saddened by the dishonesty that has become so accepted in our society. I remember as a teenager traveling to Mexico and traveling to Peru. And I enjoyed those trips. I enjoyed being in those places. But I was amazed. I asked this boy that was a translator for one of our Peru trips. I said, do you have a driver's license? And he said, yeah. And he reached in his pocket and he had a pocket full of coins. And he said, yeah, there it is. And sure enough, you get pulled up. He got pulled over in Peru. You throw the guy a little piece of money, police officer a little piece of money, he'd be like, have a good day, sir. In Spanish, of course. And I thought, this is awful. I can't imagine that. What corruption. And I remember as a young person laying in my heart, I'm thankful it's not exactly like that where we are. But unfortunately, if we don't change the way things are going, corruption is rampant and it's on the rise. It's on the rise. And if you degenerate, I'm going to say something very plain here. If you deteriorate the law enforcement of a nation, then you no longer have a nation of laws. Our brightest and most honest and faithful folks should be represented on the police force. I'm for them. I love them. But they were dishonest. And he said, I'm going to look to the Lord for leadership because there's no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. He said, they're wicked in their hearts. There's just so much wickedness. So much wickedness. And I'm thankful for my little bubble that I live in. And I'm with you guys so much. I'm thankful for that. But I don't want to be naive to the fact that there's wickedness. And you work in a public place and you understand there's wickedness, right? He says, they're wicked. There's such wickedness. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. That's the exact same phrase that we saw in Romans 3 last week. Their throat is an open sepulcher. The things coming out of their mouths is the same kind of decay and rot and stench that you'd find in a grave where dead bodies were. So their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongues. Verse 10. His prayer was this, destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out into the multitude of their transgressions. Look back up and say, I want you to see that. Destroy them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. You see that phrase? There's a little prophecy in this passage of Scripture. Let them fall by their own counsels. You know what? This doesn't make me happy. But I'll have you know something. Every person that chooses not to look up for their king and their leader, it's going to be someone who falls by their own counsel. Folks, I'll have you know something. Every wicked device that you see happening in the United States of America and around this world, every wicked, unrighteous, ungodly counsel that is given and lived by, everything that destroys the truth of God's Word and lives for the wickedness of man, I'll just have you know something. Every time, those folks and those nations will be destroyed by their own counsels. They will fall by their own counsels. Hey, look, we are thinking away from God towards our own destruction. I mean, you start rationing away the basics of God's Word, marriage, gender. You start trying to explain away the foundations of creation and sin and righteousness and Jesus. You start explaining away those things. And I just want you to know something. The folks who do it, I don't wish any ill on any of them. I want them to come to faith in Christ. But the bottom line is, they shall fall by their own counsels. They'll fall by their own counsels. Cast them out into the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. Their heart is full of rebellion. Oh, it's so sad. Now David says, now look, I'm going to look up for a leader because they, this world, the counsel that he was getting from all around, folks that had left God out, he said, they're wicked. I'm looking up for a king because he's righteous. He says, I'm looking up for a leader because they are wicked. Number three, he says, I'm going to look up for hope. I'm going to look up for hope. The last two verses, passage of Scripture, the Bible says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Have you ever been around somebody that was rejoicing and shouting for joy? And you wondered why? I've met folks who are rejoicing and shouting for joy just because they was full of emotion. But David says, I'm not just rejoicing and shouting for joy because I'm had an extra cup of coffee. He says, I'm rejoicing and shouting for joy because, you see it in verse 11? He says, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. He says, I'm rejoicing. He said, folks that are trusting in God are rejoicing. The folks who are looking up for hope, he says, they're rejoicing. Why? Because thou defendest them. I love the fact that we can rejoice. We can rejoice. I heard a preacher today say, there's really never a need to be discouraged. Now, that's easier to say than it is to live by. But if we take God at His Word and understand who God is and how God works, there's never a real need to be discouraged because God defends you. God has a purpose for the good times. God has a plan for the bad times. If we live our lives in submission to Him as our King and our leader, then we have hope because He defends us. Well, I like to think about that. He defends us. Rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Have you ever thought about the fact that if you'll just humble yourself and follow God, follow the Lord Jesus Christ, He will defend you? Imagine the ability that God has to be your defense. Sometimes I think, my lands, who knows what they're saying? Who knows what they're doing? Sometimes you get in your heart, most of the time, by the way, when you think somebody's upset with you and you don't have any real good reason, they're probably not. They probably haven't thought about you in weeks. Most of the time, we fabricate problems in our own minds that aren't anywhere close to true, and the devil loves it when we do. And all God's people said, amen. Most of the time, that's not true. But even in the moments when it is, when your character's maligned, you're gossiped about or talked about or mistreated or things are done behind your back or things are done to cause you harm, rejoice, shout for joy because God, who is everywhere and hears everything, He defends you. Isn't that great? He defends you. I don't know exactly how He defends you. He defends you better than I could, though. He defends you better than your greatest ally could. As a matter of fact, you don't have a greatest ally that's greater than God Himself. Isn't that reason to rejoice? Shout for joy. Look, let God take care of your burdens. Look to heaven for hope. He says, I'm going to look up for hope. I'm going to look up for hope. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to shout for joy because thou defendest me. Thou defendest me. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. He says, shout for joy. Rejoice. Be joyful in God. In verse 12, he gives us one more good reason. You see it, four. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor. Wilt thou compass him as with a shield? For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. What's God do? God blesses the righteous. You know, we're declared righteous when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ for our soul salvation. You don't have to be perfect to receive God's blessing. But you do have to be submissive and willing to let Him be the Lord of your life. The Lord will bless the righteous. Oh, how wonderful it is to know that we can have God's blessing on our life. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. We can have the Lord's blessing on our life. He'll bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. You see that? That's one sentence. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Now, this is wonderful. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Have you ever had somebody do something for you kind of begrudgingly? Isn't it awful? Have you ever had somebody do something for you begrudgingly? You needed them desperately. But they've done it for you begrudgingly. Isn't that miserable? I hate it. I hate when someone acts like I've been such a burden to them because they had to help me. Isn't that, that's devastating. But look what the Bible says. How does God compass us about with a shield? How does God protect us? Does God protect us? The moron can't do it on his own because I don't want to stand around him. Big dummy, can't do nothing. No, the Bible says with favor. With favor, he compasses me about with a shield. Hallelujah. I know me. And God knows me better. God knows the worst of me worse than I know the worst of me. And yet, He loves me anyway. Isn't it wonderful? He compasses me about with a shield. Favor. With favor, He compasses me about with a shield. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm just going to look up for a king, for a leader, and for hope. Because God's righteous. The world, its devices are wicked. And God defends us and blesses us and has favor on us. Hey, let's just look up. Resolve once again to look to heaven for your direction. May God help us.